This FabFM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
I have the medicine lady with me. Firstly, good afternoon, Dr. Alex Bernhardi.
Hello, Gary.
Good to see you. Beautiful afternoon.
It is. It is definitely getting warm.
And you look, as always, full of the joys of spring.
Oh, thank you so much.
Excellent stuff. Always good to chat to you. We've talked about, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, all sorts of topics. Magnesium, we've talked about sleep, as an example. We've talked about plastic bottles and things like that. I'll put that one to the side there. We'll say no more for now on that one. But today we're going to talk about antibiotics and in particular antibiotic resistance, because I know that's a topic that I've sort of heard going around the traps over the years, and it's an interesting one. But I have a very quick question before we get into some of the key topics for today. I still get a bit confused because I know there's certain things that you can go to the doctor and say, look, I think I need some antibiotics, doc. And they say, well, antibiotics don't work with them. It's the other ones they work with. Now, just remind me, what is it that antibiotics are designed to work and what are the things that they don't help with?
In general, antibiotics just work against bacteria, not against viruses. Many infections that we get, respiratory infections, sore throats, chest infections, can be caused by a virus, which does not necessarily mean that it is less severe than a bacteria. But antibiotics don't help in these cases.
Okay, thank you. I've made a note of that and I will never forget that. Now, I've probably touched on something already. You go to the doc and you say, I probably need some antibiotics. And I think one of the things we're going to talk about is, are we just assuming and just overdoing it with them? And are they actually having an effect? Because I know one of the things you want to talk about, you know, a massive invention, as you've put in your notes for me, in the 20th century, there's no doubt. But are they becoming less effective? That's one of the big questions. So lead us into that. What are your thoughts, Doc?
I think, Gary, if you would have come to me, you would be one of my nightmare patients, because patients who come in and already have an idea or a very precise idea what it is that they want from the GP, that makes things really complicated. Because what you should say is, doctor, I've got a sore throat and it started yesterday and I've got a fever and I really feel unwell or anything like that. So that would be a much better opening than, but what I get is when patients like you come and say, I think I need an antibiotic, it really means that, doctor, I feel really, really sick and lousy, because that is one of these conceptions that we have, and we are jumping right already in the middle of the, of this topic with that. The perception, of our society is that if we feel really sick, we think we need an antibiotic. And we are forgetting that some of the worst diseases, dengue fever, for example, of which you can die, they are caused by viruses. So I think we really need to take a step back from that misconception that if we feel just really unwell, that would mean we need an antibiotic. What the doctor wants to look at is, say you come in and you've got a sore throat, obviously, we would have a look into your mouth and we can see, is it red, is it inflamed, is it swollen, is there pus? But we also need to know, do you have a fever, how high is the fever, have you had chills, what's your blood pressure doing, how are you coping, can you still swallow, are you dehydrated, did you need it to cancel your work commitments? Did you need to stay in bed? Was it your wife ringing? So there are so many more things that we need to take into account.
On that note, and again, I'm digressing slightly from our original conversation, but that's fine. Mr. Google or Mrs. Google is fine too. Is that an issue, do you think, for doctors? Because, you know, we've got all this information and the old thing, you know, three clicks and you're dead sometimes. And that's the worrying thing about Google. But doctors must now be seeing a lot more experts potentially coming in, and they've got to really say, hang on a minute, just calm down. And I mean, sometimes they may well be right, but it must be an issue that doctors need to address in the modern world.
In general, yes. But I believe in the case of antibiotics, it is more this that we just got so used to taking antibiotics for anything serious, and the neighbor needed to take antibiotics, and sometimes you needed to take a second course and a third course and you were still no better, which obviously in hindsight would mean, well, it was not a bug that was susceptible to an antibiotic in the first place, if you still feel unwell after 3 weeks of the same antibiotic. But we just got so used to it. And one of the other problems is that antibiotics these days, they are so readily available everywhere, and that is on a global level. In many other countries, you can buy antibiotics just over the counter in the pharmacy. It's really cheap. So therefore, the threshold to actually think that you might need to take an antibiotic is so much lower, because it's not an economical or a problem of having access to it anymore, which in the rare events that you really need an antibiotic, that's obviously a really good thing. But on the global scale, that is what is part of driving the antibiotic resistance.
Certainly, as we mentioned, a great invention, very successful, certainly in the early to middle stages of the last century. But we're seeing resistance. Bugs are saying, actually, we can work around these. We're going to find another route. And that could potentially, as you see it, be a major problem, certainly in the future.
Well, not only in the future, but the WHO has already declared that antimicrobial resistance is a global crisis, and that is not only a medical problem, but also an economic problem. They say that currently 500,000 patients are dying because of resistance to antibiotics. So, for example, tuberculosis is one of these conditions which we previously could treat relatively well with sort of like more or less standard antibiotics, and that has become increasingly problematic. The WHO is predicting that if we are not changing what we are doing, that number of 500,000 per year can easily increase to 10 million per year very shortly.
That is indeed a scary thought. So when we talk about resistance, and I believe the term is antimicrobial resistance, would that be right, Doc? Okay, that's good. What are we actually talking about? What does that mean?
So it means that the bacteria that previously are susceptible to an antibiotic are developing genetic changes, so that that very same antibiotic that would have killed the bacterium a week ago is not working anymore. And that genetic change that's a natural occurring change. That is nothing new. That has happened ever since the invention of penicillin. This is just how our environment is adapting to changes. But the problem is what we mentioned already, that we are using more and more antibiotics. And that means that more and more bacteria are becoming exposed and therefore resistant to it. Another problem is that if patients start taking an antibiotic and then after a day they are better and they think, oh, well, maybe the doctor was right and I didn't really need to take it, and then they stop, whatever they have been treating, they would have just killed the very susceptible bacteria, which means that the ones which are already have developed that resistance, they are the ones surviving and they are then replicating.
So you've got to catch up with those, that small percentage that found their way around that particular issue is a problem, obviously, as you mentioned, down the line. Is it true also that genes can be exchanged from one bacteria to another, so they can say, hey, I've learned how to do this, let me help you out. They're clever, aren't they, these bacterias? Bacteriums.
Absolutely. And I think we are not quite sure about the scale of this shift, this horizontal shift, how the geneticist would call that, is, but we definitely know that some bacteria, they can transfer their resistance to another strain of bacteria, one that was not actually targeted in the first place. And that could also be in the case of your gut bacteria. And don't get me started on the gut bacteria. I think we all know where that is ending.
Well, yeah. It's a topic that we seem to come back to time and time again, and I'm glad we do, because I think I say the industry, the medical industry, but probably more so actually the more natural approach is realising how vital gut health is. Okay, well, I'll take some music. We'll come back. We'll look at the problem in a little bit more detail. We'll look at some of those things you've mentioned already in terms of the overuse of antibiotics and maybe some of those solutions that you have too. It's our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi. She has been a doc in the Douglas Shire for over a decade, 13 plus years. Got a few other projects underway, and we'll talk about that too shortly. She's got, she will be attending an event this evening, which you've already heard about here at Fab FM. We'll talk about that too. It is indeed Fab. Our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi, is with us as usual on a Wednesday. We've covered some very interesting topics over the last few weeks, and today is equally interesting. We're talking about antibiotics resistance, antimicrobial resistance, and it could be an issue, not just now, but certainly in the future, with potentially millions of deaths as a result of resistance that bugs seem to have and are learning and actually sharing too. That's scary stuff. Good to have you here as always, Dr. Alex. Thank you for coming, and let's continue with our chat. We're talking about some of these issues of resistance, and we want to get back in particular to talk about overuse again. But, I mean, why is it generally a problem? Looking a little bit more deeper into it, what are the key issues?
So the key issues, we can broadly divide them into two groups. One is the overuse of antibiotics in human health, but maybe we should talk quickly about that there is overuse of antibiotics in animal health as well. Okay. And when I say animal health, what I really mean, it's not, you know, the cat that you have at home. It is meat production. And so the overwhelming amount of internationally used antibiotics is actually used for meat production, and within that category it is not used primarily to treat a sick animal, but it is used in a prolonged fashion as a growth promoting agent. And so that means that 80% of all antibiotics get used for just to fatten the animals up faster, because that's apparently a side effect of some of the antibiotics, which then means that the environment is firstly overloaded with the undigested parts of the antibiotics through the feces, but also through the feces of the animals, which we easily find again then in other forms in some way or other in our environment, or it comes in, you know, compost, fertilizer, all sorts of products that we are then as an end consumer use. So, sorry, that was a long-winded sentence. These feces, they are overloaded with antibiotics, but also with resistant bacteria. Because if you give an animal for a couple of months a low dose of antibiotics, thinking what we discussed before, how antibiotics can change their genetic makeup to become resistant, then it is easy to understand that during that process, a lot of bacterial resistance gets created just through this process.
So just to reiterate what you said there, because I'm actually quite shocked by what you've said there, in that and they may be labeled differently, but basically the fattening up process for meat production, in some cases they're using antibiotics, be they labeled differently, antibiotics, which is then basically getting into, say, our food chain or whatever term you wish to use, through a number of ways. So we are actually getting antibiotics into our system, our food chain, and as you mentioned, some of those issues. And I would imagine, and you may have touched on this already, apart from the actual resistance that we see that bacteria are putting up, as they traditionally do and have done over the years, but I guess if we unknowingly absorbing these particular antibiotics, then surely we'll be getting more used to them. It's like anything. Yep. You think, this used to have an effect on me, but I'm getting used to it now. So again, it's lessening our ability to get the benefits out of antibiotics. I mean, is that in a nutshell is what we're saying, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that we are not even aware of it because, these tiny traces of antibiotics, you can't taste them. They don't make the meat look off or anything like that. So, and it's actually really hard to detect them. And similar to pesticides and air pollution, it is always the long-term, very low dose exposure that can actually lead to the most severe problems further down the track.
Is it a fairly common process using, again, antibiotics, again, maybe labelled differently in the meat trade, but this is something that's common to most countries? Is it more of a cheaper meat production that we might see from overseas, or is it just a generally accepted thing within the industry?
Look, I think it is more or less what all countries are doing. So my advice here would really be to buy from local farmers where you have had a good talk to and where you know that these farmers don't need to do that. And obviously it really depends on how the, say, the cattle are raised. If we have them here grazing on the paddocks, there will be less likeliness that farmers need to use antibiotics compared to in the bigger industry where they've got them all just in the shed and where things are even more industrialized. So really knowing where your meat comes from and being prepared to pay a higher price for a better quality meat. And that would fit in really nicely with what we think a healthy diet is anyway.
Well, look at some of the solutions, because I know obviously you are a conventional GP and, you've practiced that for many years, but you thoroughly enjoy and much of your life is involved in looking at more natural options. And I think that's a fabulous thing. And we'll look at some of your solutions. One of the things you mentioned to me off air, and I really think it's an important thing you mentioned today, is the difficulty for the general public maybe to understand the need for alternative options and the way that the actual costing encourages people to go down the antibiotic route, because as you mentioned off air, it's a lot cheaper to get a script and get your antibiotics and say go and buy some alternative options.
That is actually one of the biggest problems that we as general practitioners are often facing. There are four mild infections, be it viral illnesses or a mild bacterial infection. There are lots of options available because not every infection means that the body is not coping with it. So maybe what we would need to do is to help the body to activate its own immune systems and just give it a little bit of time and try to help with the symptoms. So we know that herbs like chamomile, they have anti-inflammatory properties and they have been used and actually really well studied in Germany for many, many, many years. They have been used in the past and they are still used. So my advice often is that if you have a little bit of sore throat but you are not really seriously sick, you can have a hot chamomile tea, or you can have hot water with lemon and a bit of manuka honey, just these kind of things. But what you addressed, and that is a really big point, that herbal medicine in the pharmacy does not get supported by the bigger system. And that means that if a patient would be in general happy to go and buy something that is not an antibiotic, then that patient can easily end up like with $40-$50 just for a herbal throat spray, a nasal spray, things like that. And that the fact that only an antibiotic comes on a supported PBS script, somehow I believe that implies to the public also that the antibiotic is the ultimum script and the ultimate medication that you want to score from your GP, because that is the valid stuff. And by not supporting evidence-based herbal medicine, the system is just giving the wrong signal and is creating, or is part of, and hopefully I don't get in trouble of saying this here, but the system is part of the problem.
Well, we are educated as youngsters to believe the doc, and I think in many cases, you know, seeing your GP is a very sensible thing to do. But, you know, you tend to believe in those things that you've been trained to do over the years. We've talked about this topic a lot today, and I'm happy to, because it is a big topic, as many of our topics are. Just give us a quick summary of those solutions that you feel are ways around some of these issues that we've discussed today.
Yeah, just to summarize it, as always, it's prevention of infection that works best. And if you have a healthy lifestyle, if you don't have any chronic illnesses, you are less likely to come into the situation to get seriously sick from a bacterial infection. Then another thing that I do recommend is if you choose to undertake overseas travels, then I would indeed discuss it with your GP whether or not you should take up a vaccination, say for typhoid, for example. So for all these infections that you might encounter overseas with which you and your body is less likely to be able to deal with. Then what we just said for mild infections, please by all means go and see your GP, let your GP check you out. But if your GP says, look, you are coping okay, this is not, you would not benefit from an antibiotic, then please listen to your GP, use alternative therapies, go back to herbal medicines, rest and sleep. So don't go to work, don't send your kid to school. Sometimes it is often a case of you need to have a couple of days of rest and good care and warm fluids and a hot bathtub to get back on track. And in these cases, you just need to understand that often antibiotics don't shorten the duration of many conditions and they don't enable you to just carry on as if nothing would be either. And then obviously what we said, limit your meat intake and check what you're going to buy and only buy good quality meat where you know it hasn't been produced with antibiotics.
And if you're under the weather, do not be scared to see your health professional, be that your naturopath, your GP, whatever.